And what's happened is,
okay,
Larry,
Saturday,
really interesting
October 15th, 2004,
so I haven't been able to.
And I'm sitting here with Winston Cini and J.J. Hill, the great J.J. Hill, who played most of his lacrosse for Fergus.
So,
yeah,
I'm going to put it up there
in
the table.
Well, it
meets.
Is there another? Oh,
no.
Oh,
you don't have a
speaker,
microphone or
anything, huh? Yes, there's one in the building.
Okay.
And it looks pretty good.
All right.
Now, when did you... I heard some real stories about you tonight. About your days in Aurelia, some gang you were in.
Well, I used to be some of a wrecking gang. I used to call it the wrecking gang. There was six of us in this gang. We never got into any trouble. But everybody in town respected us. Like, it was just like this was in Aurelia, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought, like, we bought a Model T when we were about 14 or 15 years old. Now, our bumpers used to come together, eh? So we said, well, we'll buy this Model T for $10. So where are we going to get the money? Well, there's a weapon yard not too far from us. So we'd go down and steal the bass from the wrecking yard, bring it around the front door and sell it to the guy. And this is the way we bought the steel, this year's Model T horse. So we come pretty close, more than friends at this year time. Like, you know, we were always together.
We're teenagers?
Like, we're
40 teenagers?
Yeah, we'd be teenagers at this time. And we didn't buy it with girls. Like, we were having too much fun the other way, like going swimming. We had our own lacrosse team, our own hockey team. You know, we played the different awards and stuff like this. And this way that we, like, we challenged people for our other guys from Stavenhurst in fights. And they'd come down every Saturday night, and they'd have one guy in their gang, and we'd have one guy in our gang. And after the fight, it was, you know, you're playing your fight, you know.
Okay, would you put
yeah, yeah, right. And but nobody really got hurt, and that was more or less part of how to defend herself, and
respect too, like it was always one on one.
Right.
It wasn't like nowadays where you hear a gang's attack in one person.
Yeah.
There was no guns or knives or stuff in those days.
So it wasn't organized across like pickup, was it?
It was pickup. The only organized across back in the 30s was with YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And during traffic, my dad wouldn't let me join the YMCA. His religion was pretty strong back in them days, the Orange and Catholic and stuff like that.
Right, I guess.
And so anyway, it finally dawned on my dad that I was the only boy that wasn't with us here during the YMCA.
So you grew up in Aurelia?
Yeah.
Were you born in Aurelia?
Yeah. Yeah, born in Aurelia. Well, I was only... about 4 doors from Bob Joseph.
That's who told his son, said to mention about this gang.
Because yeah.
Bob Joseph, I guess, he's a little bit younger than you.
Yeah.
He must, I guess he looked up to you, and he said you'd take on anybody in the town.
There was a guy in our gang by the name of Stan Jokers, and he was a southpaw. Now, other guys from that would come in and challenge us, we would always put Stan up against them, because they weren't used to fighting a southpaw. And he would always win. So then I got, that we were considered one of the better fighters, eh? So I always went back and let somebody challenge us. And then they would try and talk me into, you know, the guy would talk me into joining in. And this is when he would take over. Like, we can handle ourselves pretty good in a fight. Well, I'm in the Reserve Army at the age of 17. Like, I write about my age, and I'm in the Reserve Army. So, even at, when they go to camp and they have the lake, I used to do quite a bit of boxing. So, we went to Mr. Drill Hall this night, and it's around Drill Hall. And there's guys in there, and they didn't really make this year bag bouncer. So I took Kenny and Skinner, they were kind of my managers in this. And I said, Skinner, I said, God, I said, there's one guy we want to get from him. Well, his arms were bigger than my legs. And I go to get in the ring, I look over who's in this corner, a whole shit show. And I said to Skinner, I said, no way. He's flying. You don't know. He says, and don't let up.
Who's so, the guy in the other corner?
I don't know who he was.
Okay.
But he was well built and a boxer. You could tell just the way that he could, you know, make this year ball and the gym bounce and stuff like that. Then I get into him, I had to knock him out in the first minute. And, well, I knew I pushed him and he was against me.
You were quick.
And that's it. So I had two packs of cigarettes I make for winning. And, like, you know, well, then I started to box around Dave and Hurst and stuff like that. And we'd get $5 or $10 for them. But we were still with this year gang, eh? And we might be going to the pool room, a couple of them joined me, reserve army too. And this is when we kind of split up. There's one guy, even in the army, permanent, so I only in the Navy, 43.
So, what was your date of birth? I think I got it down.
July 26, 1924.
1924.
Well, on.
When did you pick up your. When did you learn your lacrosse?
In Louisville. At YMCA.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is when we were pretty good at sports. Like I had that. But they put junior lacrosse on the shelf in 42A. Mm-hmm. So we missed junior lacrosse.
Because of the war.
Because of the war. Yeah, and, like we wound up in the service with a lot of boys my age. And we missed junior lacrosse. But even in junior lacrosse or in the YMCA lacrosse, I would be playing on two teams, a midget and a juvenile. They'd always bring me up to another level.
A natural athlete.
Right. And the same in hockey or baseball or anything like this. But I led lacrosse.
So when was your first year of organized, I guess you would have been to senior, eh?
Yeah, that would be in 1946. There we had 22 guys on our team. And 18 of us were veterans. They were all from Louisville. There were only four of them.
And was that on the way to senior A?
That was senior B. Well, we set a record one night with Dan Midland and I scored 17 goals.
in one
night. And then that year we won along the championship in 1946. But my brother could go.
Bun. Bun?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a spell on there.
Yeah, no, my brother Bun. When we get to Peterborough this night, it's the 15th or the 16th or the 7th. It's the last game anyway. Mm-hmm. And we were ahead by 3 goals. And when we got to Peterborough, they forgot the lacrosse mask for my brother. So they gave him a baseball mask. One, Bartley, I think his name was.
Bartley?
Bartley,
maybe?
I think
Peterborough?
Yeah, there was two brothers.
Art Bartley and,
I think it's Bartley or something.
I might be wrong, because look at him there. Peterborough. Yeah, because Bartley's went to later.
They were the two brothers were there. I can still see them.
Hmm.
They were both on the Peterborough team. But he had wound up and let a shot go and it went right through the mask. A chance of a million. And that my brother's leg and tweaked out of his socket.
Oh.
And our trainer came out, looked at him, he got sick. Then the Peter Burris came out and there was sand all over the eye. He got a bottle like that, he was pouring water over my brother's eye, and he ripped my brother's eye back into the socket. And they took him by ambulance into the hospital in Peterborough. He was in there for about 2 weeks and he had lost his side vision. He had no side vision. He could see straight ahead, but no side vision. So they had a benefit game for him. They were going to have a benefit game for him in Peterborough, and they got our team in so much money. Our manager, there's one reason why I left Louisville. Our manager said we're going to have it in Louisville. We had the game in Louisville. My brother received $250. Now, I sold over $200 myself in tickets, and yet he only gets so much money. And I thought, I will never play lacrosse with you again. And the next year, we both had an offer from Peterborough to play lacrosse in Peterborough.
Hmm.
I think it was pretty good. I went down, you had to be there by the 1st of May, back then. They had a living residence or something. You had to be in the town by May the 1st, so I was down there for that. So my first, he cost $2.75 an hour. and you can see the boat, and down the first, and you see the boat out coming. So I went 2 weeks, and I got 1 week's pay. So the process started early that year, and if I'm not mistaken, for some reason, that was usually started around the 24th of May, and was senior B. So I got my first paycheck, and $1.25 on it. So I went to him, and I said, I'm just mistaken this year. Paycheck. He said, why am I? You found $1.75 an hour. He said, well, make it on next paycheck. So I worked another 2 weeks. So then I get my back pay for 2 weeks, and I said, there's still something wrong here. I'm only getting $1.25 an hour. He broke the carpet to me, and I was down with his gas, and that was he's doing buffing and polishing that. He said, it's going to take 2 months or 6 months to learn the thing. He said, remember, I says, well, you phone me in 3 months, and I walked out and come back from the business season in Aurelia, but then I left Aurelia and went to Fire.
So 47, you played a little bit of single B for Philadelphia, and Aurelia?
46.
46, but then yeah. This is 47 when your brother got his eye.
No, in 46 I played, and 47 went to Philadelphia.
Okay.
After.
With your brother.
Right.
And now, can you give me your brother's date of birth?
September the 22nd, he was born 18 months before I knew you, so it would be 1922.
Okay.
22.
No.
22. Yeah. Is your brother still alive?
No, he passed away, 10 years ago? But he played, I went with Weston in 48.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Senior A?
Yeah, he was senior A then. My brother, he was playing for Peterborough then. Mm-hmm. So I told the guys on Weston, I said, what is my score? My brother and I can shoot through the side. I said, he's got no side vision. So I told my brother in the car, I said, I never dawned on the A, but so whenever the word was now going down the league A, but.
I've got some stats from 1949, and your brother's played 7 games for Peterborough, Senior A. That would be their first year at Senior A.
That's right.
Was that the only time he played Senior A?
Yep.
So he played in 49, and would that have been his last year?
Yeah, that would be his last year.
Did you? What is your favorite personal moment that you remember in lacrosse? You must have had a great one game and one particular moment that you never forget.
Okay. Well, actually, there's two. The first one was in Fergus. When I come to Fergus, I had to wait for him to get my release before I could play with him. So they'd already started to play.
What year was that?
Actually, 1951. So, anyway, I was in a D's. So, anyway, we got my release on this Friday, and this Friday night they had a game. Now, we were bringing in guys from Old Town. There was Eric Gazzari, Mario Woods, so forth like that.
Moon
from down.
Not 51?
No, he was with us. He was with Peter.
Oh, right, I'm sorry. I'm thinking you were with Peter, but that's 51 with Owen Sound. No, Fergus, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Owen Sound and down and played with Fergus.
Okay.
The other players. Okay, this night, now I don't know whether it had been done in Fergus before or not, but I scored 2 goals over my shoulder. And one of them, the first one, was kind of a standing ovation. I just had not seen this year done.
Yeah.
You know, like this, or like the way it was done. So that was the first one. The second one was in Hamilton. There was Stu Stahn. We went to Peterborough this night. It was on a Friday night. And they had the arena packed. We arrived with 7 players, 8 counting the goaltender. There was Stu Stahn, Jim McMahon, Jim O'Dowdy, Tony D'Amico, myself, and another guy named David Street. We beat Peterborough that night in Peterborough, 12-10, and I got 3 goals. That's when another time that always stuck out my mind. But I think that we could beat them guys with 7 players.
And that was the year they won the man.
And that's right. Yeah, and we beat them right in Peterborough. Now, we had a lot of rest of the season, but there's probably some guys who probably would have wound up with something.
There's a lot of those guys still alive.
I like to be talked about.
And
Stu
Scott.
Stu, he'll be here tonight. He's got trouble with his legs.
And
Jim and Melvin's son, Tony and Mitchell's son, Davison, he goes to the big supper in St. Catharines, but I haven't seen him since I left.
Which Davison would that be?
His wife, right? Used to be with the TV.
My wife used to do a television show
on
Hamilton.
She
was playing with Hamilton.
Yeah.
But then she took off to the States with...
Not Mary Schneider, but...
I forget his name. He's
well known. I just got to get this on interview. This thing is... My favorite story is about you with the calf. Tell me that story.
Well, one night in Ghana, I bought this car a couple weeks ago, and they gave me some money then. It had to be halfway through August anyway, and it was a 39 Chev coach, a Gordon Sadler. This night we were playing in hometown, and we had a practice, and I said to the coach, I don't know who he was right now, but I said, I got to work till we're leaving. The bus was leaving at 5 o'clock. And I said, I can't get away from her. I was at a hearing. And I said, I can't get out for 5:30. And he says, well, will you pick up this other guy? We'll not mention this other guy's name, no. And, well, actually, the third of three Steve, eh?
Okay.
But he said, will you pick up Steve? And I changed it. And I said, yeah. He says, when you come to hometown, he says, there'll be somebody there. He says, we're going to take your equipment and stuff up. He said, when you get there, he said, this way, he said, you know, take a couple hours to get from the car. And he said, this way, he said, we'll start the car and you. And this other guy's speaking, taking off his time. So I picked up Steve at James Street. And when he gets in the car, he's got this knapsack. And there's four things to do in this knapsack. Well, we had no supper in that, so we sat from the time of day. And we had the two of them by the time we get home. By the time we get not too far out of line, so you can make your call. So we go down the cycle, and quite a ways down the cycle, and make sure that, you know. So anyway, he gets out to one side, I get up to the other side. And I spot something over in the orchard, and I don't get apples. You know, something in night for a while, I'll go and get a couple of apples. Well, you know, I go to the back in the car, and he saw this cat in the car. Now, how he got it in, I don't know, but the seat goes forward in. And he's got this, and I was capped. It didn't weigh too much. I'd say maybe 40, 50 pounds or something like this. But he would not let this cap out. And now we're running away anyway. I said, well, hell, and no one had to pull it out through the driver's side on the kind of the seat. So I said, well, hell, I'll just take out, you know, let this cap out on the way back. We get shortly up the road, and this car, this cap said, you know, something like that. Like a dog, like a wolf, or smothering, you know. And now you might have looked at all the sounds like, holy shit, we don't know the top of this thing, we don't know the top of this thing. You know, so we get another mile up the street, and this car let loose with everything it had all over the whole thing on the back of the car, and stiff like there was no tomorrow. Holy shit, something like this. And this guy was a big joke to him, but, you know, I thought this car, and I was all down the cliff. So, as you roll down the window, it just made it worse, you know. And you got no air conditioner in that room. But you hear the sound. And the guy who's out there ready to pick up the car, and you assume you're going to be walking out there, and he's on the car, and I just go back the car, I said, we'll show you spot, and we'll pick it up after the game. So when I said, you shut up about it. So anyway, nothing was said. So he goes and passed the car, and after the game, he's going where it is, and I get the car. But the guy that went up with me, he don't come back. He was on the bus. He's going back the other way. So I got to take this car, this car back, and by luck, I happen to know a little bit of an oranko, so I did find a way to hold and let this cap out. But I thought of it after. If I ever got nailed with this towel in the back of the thing, you know, I could get charged for it. That is exactly what this guy wound up with in Kingston later.
Really?
It was a towel
Russian. Yeah, I've never heard this story.
Yeah, he wound up in Kingston.
So it's two different stories. I thought that you got caught that night and he got 5 years in prison for cattle arrest.
No, he got nailed after for cattle arrest.
What was his hit rate? He was a lacrosse player.
I really can't remember his last name.
Tell us what was lacrosse like as a game in those days? I mean, you watch it today, you see the Throttle Rock and all these guys. Was it a tougher game? Was it more violent? Was it more slower? Was it faster? Or more skill? You know,
I'd say there's more skill to it. The passing, the catching, trying to beat a guy or two guys. When you're a man strike, they had certain guys out there that could ride the ball for a good minute or a minute and a half. You know,
and that's before the 30-second clock, too.
That's right.
So you have not specialists in that.
Yeah.
Very, very
important.
I'm not.
Yeah, well, like, okay, you've got my favorite
footage. Oh, really?
Oh, you walk up to more races.
When Jerry Fitzgerald was our coach in Fergus, on the power play, he had Tony D'Amico, myself, Jerry Fitzgerald, Richie Abbott, and Bob Dillon. And when man short, he had Tony D'Amico, myself, himself, and Richie Abbott. We always be four guys that would play the power play and a man short.
So you guys got a lot of four time.
That's right. To me, more of a closer sport. Like, even if you're checking a guy, you'd say, if you want the bison, I want the bison. But then, you know, when they begin in the game, then you forget it again, back and forth. But you're curious with the guys that were checking them. And even after you whack all of one another, you're in the hotel, they go on having a beer. There was more closeness.
Camaraderie, I guess.
Yeah. And more respect. Mm-hmm. Very seldom. There's only one time that I've seen all the players deserve. A guy by the name of the Fipio. He took the learning for two stitches down to one side this time. So anyway, there he went, got stitched up, told him, he used to carry me the rest of the night. He began to fail, he didn't come down again, and the Fipio caught him again on the other side. He then took his stick and he took him for 168 stitches.
Holy!
We couldn't pull him off. That's the worst one I ever seen in the class.
See?
They were just lost. They were not suspended for I don't know how many days.
168 stitches.
Yeah. The Pepio never came back.
No, he put his stick up in the air and he'll never see the class again.
Thanks, I never heard of the Pepio guy.
Yeah.
Well,
he used to play for
Jason. I think he's originally from St. Catharines.
But his wife was from Fergus, but he played down in
Fergus. I think he played in St. Catharines, but he was with Fauna that night, I think. Another night, we were playing Stanford in Fergus. Stanford was getting, they were taking a pretty good shift at this night. So anyway, the referee called one of the players, I don't know what for, but he turned around and left the ball at the referee and hit him right in the balls. They had to take him to the hospital. He was in the Fergus hospital for 2 days.
I didn't
know that.
Yeah. The Indians were there from
Frankfurt,
too. Like, it was from a whole pile
of
them. They were up sitting right there, yeah. And where I was.
I know, I was
going to
family
boxing. We had the... I like panicking because I thought that they were starting to push, and I thought they were
going to
go
over the floor. I noticed that ring you got. Is that a man cup ring?
No, that's the Ontario Lacrosse Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is the ring you got last year?
Yeah. I could have been on two man cup teams, but moved to both. The first one was with Peterborough. There was a choice to pick up one player when he went west. It was between McPhail, myself, and Nathan McPhail that year. The other year was in 1950 when Owen Song won the Man Cup. Doug Gillespie, Eric Azarian, and Mario Woods. And the guy that owned the motel from down the front and made me a little bit awkward to go to Owen Sound and play. And I accepted it. I went up for the weekend, but Owen Sound went fly. They had me a job out in Terre at the cheese factory, and I turned it down because Owen Sound was fly.
That's the reason?
And, yeah.
Wow!
Now, how stupid can you get?
It's like the slapping back in his teeth.
No, I don't know what it was. It's just that I didn't want to, like, And so I've been going to the service for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And look at that. Yeah, you want your feelings. Yeah, I just don't know what it is, but it takes a long time to unwind.
That's right. It's something to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, question for you. If I look over the 1949 Western stats, I see that you've got 40 goals and 6 assists.
The ball?
How come you had so many goals and so few assists? What about your style of lacrosse? Well, you were a scorer. Did they beat you?
Well, we took beatings. What was this? What you mean? Or?
Well, you had so many goals and so few assists. Were you like the guy that would feed to score?
Well, I love beating somebody.
Uh-huh.
Like, to me, it was a challenge.
Mm.
Like, John McQuarter was what you call a chopper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would hit you and he would lose you. To me, it was a challenge to beat this guy. Like, any guy like this is, I don't know whether, you know, why or that, but I remember if a guy was in the open, I'd give him the ball.
I'd say from what I'd see, you were a leader around the goal, man.
And I didn't see the staff.
What was your shot? Any kind of shot that you preferred?
I know that a lot of goals over the shoulder, as far as that goes, but when I was 12, 15 years old, we had a board out at the side. My dad had a dairy business, and there was a knot hole with this thing. I would get there by hours and try and put it through that hole, through that knot hole. And it got to a game where if you give me 4 inches square, I would put it in there.
Wow.
I would use my, how would I explain it? I would take a picture, I'd use my, I had something like a camera, and I could picture the goalie when I had my back to him. So if I looked at him, and I knew that he was just real far over, I knew if I got so far over, I could put it on my shoulders like that. This is the way that.
That's good.
You guys used to practice a lot more with the sticks back then, too, probably.
We did.
Like, you don't see kids, I don't know, even myself, like I played in the 60s, and I wasn't good enough to play, you know, your caliber, but I'd be down at the park, banging the ball off the wall 8 hours a day. And I think a lot, like you'd see a lot of kids doing it back then. But you don't see that now. You don't see kids out with their sticks.
No, today they don't get a chance to stand in front of that and work a ball. Like I said, there's like different times this summer with them. Why doesn't shoot from outside that goal line? But then again, you look at their equipment today, how big it is, and
yeah,
how the line is.
Yeah.
Then
they get the defense coming out. Then they lose the ball, the defense comes out.
Yeah.
It's specialized.
When we played with Fauna, there was a guy by the name of Wint Simpson. I don't know whether you got his name in there or not.
Simpson?
Yeah, Wint.
There's a name, a Simpson name, lad.
To you on your team?
Yeah, no,
Joe Simpson. Right,
I remember Joe Simpson.
But he had a wrist shot. That go like that, and he could shoot certainly as hard as I could overhand. He's our hardest guy. He had the hardest shot for a wrist shot I have ever seen. And he only needed about 6 or 8 inches, but he could snap that ball so quick.
Well, I just happened to be here, and I got a question because Stan Sherrington asked me this. The Chards. I see a lot of the Chards, but
they
which ones are with?
It's a good question.
Okay, it was Gus. Did he have a nickname? Gus Chard, or was that his thing?
Now, was he with Boston?
Yeah, see, Gus and Bob.
Yeah, there was Gus. There was.
And Bob and an F Chard on that Western team. of 1949.
That's right.
Well, we always get mixed up. Stan and I, we don't know which one is which, and some of them have nicknames. And as you saw, he might.
They had a book reserve too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a guy named Vince Reddy, who
in
1946 he had over 100 goals for Bill.
Right. And he wound up playing with Midland. In 1946 he played with Midland.
And he liked to drink, didn't he?
Oh, he didn't have that, but he died up. Yeah, my bad with Vince. He would never come home. He'd go from work to the hotel, and on the weekend you'd never see him. Yeah. But a beautiful lacrosse player.
And that's Jesse James.
Yeah.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, that's his real name. Actually, he played football for the Con Argonauts, too.
Jerry James.
No, that's Jerry
that's
James. I wonder if that was his dad.
No, that's Jesse. He played football and lacrosse.
Well,
you're thinking of Jerry James.
James played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers,
yeah,
and played
right.
for the Toronto, or played for Stormy Police.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Did Jerry James have ever been the son of Jesse James?
I'd say that. What year was Jerry?
Well, because Jerry James played hockey around 57, 58, like that. So he'd be a lot younger than this guy.
Yeah.
Like 10 years, maybe. Yeah.
And he never done his inner work for Conn Smythe out of his battle with it.
I see a lot of names. Lloyd Gehr.
Yeah, Lloyd Gehr. I don't know if he was a goaltender.
Who was the best goalie you ever played against?
Well, I'd have to say Moon. Moon.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Moon was the hardest guy.
What made it so good? Was the athletic ability? Gymnastic, or
just the way that he could alternate in the goal. Like, he could cut off an angle better than any goaltender I ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like he'd move with you. You know, like if you started to run across, he could just come to so far out the crease and get your angle down. During practice, sometimes I would have a guy like the Beastie here, I'd say, "Well, you stand out here, you know, for that." And you try and see the goal from when you stand there, and you get an idea of, you know, of how to score goals. And just stand on your seat, guy come out and stand there, and you try to look around him. And have him look around and keep moving around. Just different ways like that. And today, you don't see that many in any game. Like the goaltender, he's so big, and the guys are in front of him, and they all have to come so damn close that.
Very different game.
Yeah, it is a real different game today.
There's a guy I met just recently, his name is Bobby Granger, who played for Hamilton back in 48, 49, around then, 50.
Bobby Granger.
He didn't play much. And he played on the 48 team that won the Memorial Cup. He knows Gordon Greer and Ken Dixon pretty well.
Right.
And he's going to set me up in interviews with those guys, so I'm going to get them next.
Yeah, I don't know Ken and Archie.
Yeah, Archie just passed away just recently.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I know Kenny was down at the reunion here, not this summer, but the summer before. Down in St. Catharines.
And Elmer Lee, I'm looking at his name, he's been in back there tonight. Did you know Elmer?
Yeah, I played against Elmer, yeah.
He's not very big, is he?
No. A lot of guys are work very big, but you try and stop someone that are smaller like that.
There's Bob Granger right there. Didn't play much with 19 games, 11 goals. Going down.
I didn't think they kept track of the stats way back then.
No, I had to. Well, they did, because the way I get these is I got to go through all the newspapers and try to put them together. So I'll pick a year, let's say 1949, I'll go through all the Hamilton papers, hopefully they'll have the summaries of every game, and then through Peterborough, and then I'll go through St. Catharines, and then, you know, the Globe and Mail, and I hope to eventually get all the stats that way, and rebuild them from 1931 was actually the first year of box across, till 1960, and then I've got all, from 61 on, I've got all the stat books at home, so I hope the best they get every single staff who ever was and senior anyway.
Well, we went up anyway, yeah. And we were pleased to get them to ask for it. And I had to get them into the restaurant. They had all the staffs in there. You remember that, too?
I remember
that. And then and I looked it up. And they had my staffs in there. And I looked at it.
Wow.
This can't be right. Because I ran around 200 floors or something like that. But I know it wasn't.
I missed a lot of your years. Because you had played a few years where you played that Senior B. Like, Fergus was Senior B.
Right.
So, when there's nothing
about it. I didn't play with Fergus when they went Senior B. I went to Hamilton. That's where I went to Hamilton.
So, I know I'm missing a lot of your stuff. I got maybe 150 goals.
Yeah.
I don't have the. Have you got a computer at home?
Yeah.
Well, you should go on, it's called, my site's called www.BibleOfLacrosse.com, and there's all the stuff there. It's easy to remember. So, so we're talking now, 46 was in,
Aurelia.
47.
With Aurelia and Hubert.
48.
With Western.
49 with Western.
49 is with Western, and they sold them to Tana. And like they're going to, now this summer I couldn't figure out from Western that year they're going to $300 a sign. 2 weeks later, they sold them to some syndicate in Tana. You know what money they got, I don't know.
www.BibleOfLacrosse.com. Small words. Yeah.
Okay.
And
right.
Just go on and put it up in the address, and it'll come up. I'm Larry Pollard. Larry.Pollard.
I don't know if you got the stats in there for Bob Dovey, but Bob Dovey.
I got some of Bob Dovey's.
Okay. Now, Bob Dovey and me, I would say I have scored more goals than Ferguson than what Bob Dovey did. And yet, any stats I've seen, Bob Dovey's is reversed.
Well, I'm still going. Okay, so 49, 50 was. Where was 50 again now?
50 is with Bob.
Okay.
51, I come to Burgess. 52.
Just before you played in Hamilton that year,
that's
when
our
son was born.
I thought I was in Hamilton when Sam was born.
No, Jim was a baby.
Sam was a baby, and you're pregnant with Sam. That's the other thing. Sam was born in what?
57.
Yeah, so 57 I was with Hamilton.
So 54 with Hamilton, 55, 56?
Yeah, because
I know, sorry, but this is 50 years.
I know. 53 has been Fergus. I think 54 too.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So,
you guys were playing for Fergus, but then Fergus, they're always out of Calgary too. They never keep the checks would be bouncing.
Yeah, I was when Ted Sally was manager there. I must have been back to Fergus after.
And you were playing, who were you playing for? We found out with the races that the team had folded.
That was Hamilton.
Yeah, we were down to Fergus and that's where we were down to Lumbra. You
got
to go to a game that night in Hamilton,
and
you
got
to go to a game,
you
picked up the paper,
that
this is
where
I have to go.
So
that was the end of your career after Hamilton?
I guess I would come back with Fergus after that, if I'm not mistaken. And then I went to South Korea for a couple of years. Then I moved to Fast Fix.
Mm-hmm.
In 1954, there was an ad in the Kitchener paper. Anybody interested in lacrosse, please phone this number. I did, and a woman answered for him. She moved to Waterloo from Cornwall, there's no place for her son to play lacrosse. So, a couple nights later, we had a meeting at her house, and that's the way lacrosse was organized. Like I said, I would look after the coaching and stuff like that, and that's the way lacrosse started in Kitchener, Waterloo, and then I was the first coach of the Kitchener Braves, and then.
Plus the junior A phase or junior B at that time?
I was junior B, and then we entered in a senior B team called the Waterloo Tigers. I coached that one. Then they had another one with J.W. Kodiak, so the first coach of that one. And
Not the K.W. Kodiak just started 2 years ago.
No, it was before that.
Okay.
That'd be 7 years or before that. Or after that.
The one that was put
at
Waterloo Arena.
Yeah.
Back in
Telecast. No, that was the
Waterloo
Tigers.
Okay.
Roman started the
Oh, the Yeah.
I don't know what year it was for me. Mm-hmm. We were the coach of that year. We won the silver as well.
I should have brought
that.
I have a really nice letter to research for the amazing. I have all the lacrosse stuff in from last year, and all the cooking there was really fun and tasty to go on. And I think you know, working down. I should have brought that.
Well, I've been doing a lot of interviews with the older guys are better. Do you know a guy named Judy Punch Baylor? He lives on the Six Nations Reserve. And I was best 1931 they started with a professional league. And he played on that team. And it was he played on a team they played in Maple Leaf Gardens in 1931 in the first pro league. And he played for Buffalo, that's who he played for. A lot of the Indians went down and played for Buffalo. Scotty Martin, and there was a bunch of Martins, and those ones. Buck Smith, Roger Smith, that's right. Him, his dad was Sid Smith. And him, there was a whole bunch of Smiths that played in that team. We had no idea what happened in 1931, but now I've had a guy from New Brunswick that's recorded all the game summaries from that year. Every single summary. When you look in the diaries from 1931, 1932, they're complete, like the whole year. Every single game that was in that. So that's my thing, is I want to do every single game that was ever played, all the stats on them. And, you know, let's see.
They taught you how to make the baskets.
There's an Indian boy who lived across the road, and nobody had too much to do with him. My dad had a dairy business, and
I heard about the dairy business.
Yeah, and he's I don't know how he said it to me, but don't shock other people, you know, just because of theirs. And I like these little Indian boys, and we become real good friends, and I used to go over there and his dad would bend the wood and stuff. And he'd make stone shoes and grab the plastic and that. And I would be about 12 or 13 years old at this time. And every time we used to go to the races, I'd always see him there. And we'd always tell him the longest shot at the races, eh? Thank you, man. And we became real good friends, and that's where it started.
Do you remember that guy's name?
I used to get a. I said, the way I'm going to make some lacrosse, you would go, what? And I said, I'm going to make some lacrosse. So I got a cap in Stillman, and Bell Cannon, and I went out and seen the guy in town in Stillman that night. And I explained to him, he'd make wagon wheels and shags and everything for buttons, eh? So I used to give him some hickory. He'd like to use hickory, and I said, 1x2x5. He said, yeah, how many do you want? I just called. So anyway, we kind of made sure Bell Cannon had them all, maybe. They went pretty good, and they had no problem, so I had a guy up at work, I worked at the University of Waterloo then, and he was a fat man, so I said, Bobby, I bought you a bandsaw, and you cut out these things for the bandsaw, and things were really well. Big gentleman made 100, and then next year around 200.
I've got a page where he might be cut.
We should have bought down World West in 52, and I was going to go to Vancouver, but I got as far as New West Minister, and this is when I wound up playing the New West Minister. And we should have brought down...
In the senior league?
Yeah.
What year was that? I got the Bulls?
1952.
Okay, I put those on. I got out of the West.
But. And we had a bit of a misunderstanding, and I played, I don't know, 3 or 4 games for them. But we were pretty well in the scoring year then, when I was right there. And I think that's my first from the West Coast. So, but out there, you have to see the write-ups. The way that these year two teams will be different, with Vancouver and New West, you know, sort of one calling the other one a shite,
yeah. And
then, you know, somebody else. And you even had a poem made up of all of that defective into the park by a New West minister and caught in the same for them instead of going to Vancouver.
Like a feud between the two cultures and New West minister, New West minister, what was that a team?
And North Minister and
Vancouver Bulls.
Black
He won that I Might Kill You Award 1 year.
We had a real good team that year. I don't know whether they won the Mountain Cup or not. Should have stayed there, but.
Was it Aaron Duncan? Aaron Duncan that went out there?
Yeah, Aaron Duncan was from there to start with, I think. And then he went to Peterborough. And then he wound that back out there again.
There was one other guy that this, and the guy I wrote to him, he's in the Hall of Fame, but and his wife just passed away about a year ago. I'm not sure if it was Dugan or
maybe Dugan became president.
No, this was no relation to that guy. And JJ, which you. J.J. Hill, but what's your real name?
Joseph James.
That's
probably worth nothing.
I know who it is. Barry Whipple.
Yeah,
he played, he started right here, and then he went out there.
I started with Peter.
He was pretty good player.